All right. Happy New Year. We're on.
Happy New Year. I call the planning meeting of January 10th to order. Are there any comments on the minutes from the previous meeting? And if not, I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve minutes of November 8th, 2012.
Objections? Discussion? Minutes are approved. We are set for public comment on any non-agenda items. Seeing no members of the public in the moment, we'll move on to that next topic, which is regarding 2013 docket list. Mike.
All right, so we had our primary docket list that came to you guys back in November, and just very shortly after that, we had CenturyLink contact us and say, wait, can we please add one more? And so what they want to do, you can see on the map there, their property's up by the freeway just behind the Mormon church. And they would like to request an amendment to our comp plan land use designation and the accompanying zoning to go from residential to commercial. So they've got an existing commercial building on there already. And you can see the photo on the assessor's page. And they just want to change the zoning accordingly. They feel that it's appropriate as commercial, adjacent to the freeway and adjacent to other commercial properties. We largely concur. We may want to consider during the amendment process whether there's some limitations on the types of commercial uses when you're this far back from the primary commercial core. So maybe, for instance, a car dealer or something might not be appropriate given the distance from commercial and the proximity of the residential across the street. So that could be taken up during the amendment process, but we might consider some kind of overlay district if that's the most appropriate way to go. But anyway, we just wanted to bring it forward to you guys, get your recommendation on whether or not to take it up. We do recommend taking it up.
What's the property that's right behind it?
That is on the one that's just immediately to the south of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is...
It's
some utility company. I don't know if it's Puget Sound Energy or AT&T.
And this process, is it just we can only consider this parcel? Or
no, I think...
I mean, because it seems like, right there, it's almost weird. The rest of that kind of point didn't become...
Yeah, that would make
sense.
If you're
going to do that, why not consider the others?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think...
But I would agree, because you're right across the street from residential. It might be smart to limit the use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But tonight would just be to
say tonight,
put it on the docket.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it later, right? Basically.
Yeah. So what we'll be doing is then bringing forward all these zoning and comp plan related dockets kind of together in a package with some recommendations, and we'll get to that shortly.
So to follow on that same question, does it make sense and is it appropriate in this docket conversation that we should kind of look at this surrounding properties? And even though we haven't been asked by the property owners, should we be looking at that simultaneously? Is that...
Yeah, I think that would be fair. And, of course, any docket's going to go through a public process, and we'd notify adjacent property owners of the potential for the zoning amendment.
And ultimately, this comes into play with the annexation.
This is not directly related to annexation, but they would have to annex before they could develop under our regulations.
So that includes the church there too, huh?
The church is actually already in.
Oh,
this,
it is?
This property is the boundary line.
Oh, so. Yeah.
It's that first yellow lot, correct? It's just outside the boundary.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then the church is the one behind it. Okay.
And just a point of clarification for me, is it state law that prevents commercial signage along 990?
Yes.
So we don't have to think about that.
Well, you're talking about like billboards.
Well,
so
yeah,
that,
I think about Fife and other places where it's home.
No.
What that law is within, I think that's within rights of way. So it might not apply on private property.
That would fall under...
I'm not familiar with the law because I haven't ever had to look into it. But for situations like Fife, there's all billboards all over the place by the freeway. But I think those are all on private property.
So, for call it edification, if you will, I was party to years ago, 10, 15 years ago. Part of the I-5 corridor conversation where the state didn't allow private parties to have signage that you see there today. A number of private parties got around that requirement by selling a portion of their land to a tribe.
Is that how it related? Okay.
And the signs went up.
Yeah.
And or the sign stayed.
The flashy sign.
So, just to put it on the table, if we want a billboard sitting there, that might be something to factor in as we look at this I-90 buffer to the city.
So, what I would be looking for.
Fall under our sign ordinance, too.
It would. Our sign ordinance doesn't address billboards. Actually, I think our sign code prohibits billboards.
It has a sign requirement, right?
It does, and it also prohibits off-premise signs with certain very limited exceptions, like the size of an A board.
Yeah. Could I ask you to just make a note and run that around the office?
About billboards?
How that would work in a lot of, for a property like this and those that are along the I-90. And that's the piece that I'm surprised hadn't happened already. Mm-hmm. If it's possible to do.
Yeah, I certainly can look into
how this comes up, because if we add it to the docket, that we have that information to decide.
I mean, from one perspective, I don't care, but there are probably lots of folks in that area right there that probably would go, I don't mind having a 3- or 4-story commercial building, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
8-story sign is limited.
Yeah, and as I think about it, the prohibition on off-premise signs as well would prohibit that, unless it were specific to the business on that property, and then it's still subject to the size limitations there.
But if it gets into the hands of a sovereign nation, then the state law, I don't think, applies, because it's federal law then, if I understand how that works.
I would think that it would have to be on actual treaty property, though. You can own it, but it's not a part of the
nation?
Actual nation. I don't know how it all works. That's beyond
I can see somebody cleverly arguing, well, we're getting our lands back.
I really don't want to open up a can of worms, except for the fact that anything we have that borders I-90 is subject to that. And somebody would say that'd be a brilliant thing to do. Mm-hmm. Put up a sign. Market itself. And those things are treated very differently than the signage we think about. Those things are sold, these spaces.
Before you do, Mike, I'm sorry, I missed the conversation about where you're saying the city boundary was. Is it including that lot, or is it?
No, the current city boundary does not include that lot. It's just immediately north of that.
So then do we need to wait until they're annexed in the city to consider it?
No, because this is a comp plan land use designation, so we designate all properties within our urban growth boundary, and it's only annexation that's required for development under our city laws.
Thank you for restating that. I appreciate it.
So the question, of course, is to add or not add the 2013 docket list that was mentioned here.
Mm-hmm. So I'd be looking for a motion.
I move to add the docket.
The docket number. Second.
Second.
Those opposed? Sounds like you're in. So I'll throw out a question that I think I've already asked, but I don't remember having the answer. The order of the dockets, the sequence of them has to do with when they were submitted, right?
Yeah, that's no other reason.
Okay, so is there any discretion that we should take about prioritizing them? Because if we're going to have to face, first one and then two and then three, and actually number five needs our attention to be relevant to the process.
Up until now it's just been kind of what's reasonable to address within the time frame that we have. We took two easy ones right away so we could just get them done and get them off the table.
Sure.
Other than that, we'll be wanting to cluster like dockets, so the ones that have to do with comp plan amendment.
Nice.
We'll put those together, and then just go from there.
All the while factoring the party who submitted it, right?
Mm-hmm. I think we want to be reasonable to responding to requests.
Okay.
So maybe the public requests earlier on.
So if a private party who submitted the docket request.
That's what I meant. Requests by members of the public as opposed to just the city's own internal.
My point in that is to make sure that the citizens who took the time to submit this request as they did, mm-hmm. they don't get pushed to the back of the line for some reason that they can't control.
Yeah.
So, thank you for that. Next item is transportation impact fee regulations. Pardon me. Thank you.
So this is a very simple one, and annually the school district prepares a capital facilities plan, just as does the city, and the school district is allowed under state law to collect, or the city under state law is allowed to collect capital school impact fees for the school district. Those are based on what's in the school's capital facilities plan. So what this language does is it just references the current school district's capital facilities plan as adopted by reference in our capital facilities element. Without having that automatic reference in there, we would need to pass a resolution adopting the school district's capital facilities plan every year. This is just a simplification. We did provide a provision in there that if we disagree with the school district's capital facilities plan in a given year, we can pass a resolution not adopting it. But otherwise, it's an automatic process, and it saves the staff time and headache of going through the resolution process each year.
It's been approved every year.
So we'll make a motion to approve this to get it on the table. Discussion.
Okay.
So what's the beef with the city taking a look at those fees each year and saying we agree with them or not versus just they just keep passing them right on through?
That we would still look at it each year because they under the capital facilities or the school district impact the ordinance, they are to provide it to us each year, and at that point we look at what the fees that they're requesting, and if we disagree with those fees for whatever reason, then we pass an ordinance saying we're not going to adopt it this year for these reasons. But otherwise we don't have to go through that process.
That's just whether or not we collect it. It's not whether or not it gets paid, right?
No, it does affect if it gets paid. If we don't collect the school district capital facilities, or some school district school impact fees, then the school district doesn't get it. The city is the mechanism for development.
I've seen a figure somewhere, and Rob, you were calling it out earlier, maybe a separate matter, but $30,000 per permit.
That's way beyond just the school impact fees. That's everything.
Summary of fees.
The school district's capital or impact fees are the largest impact fee. It's $8,000 some odd.
Yeah. So I would just say this, kind of thinking for the city, every dime that a developer / builder has to put up before he can start building a house is exponential cost by the time he gets the buyer in into the house. So anytime the city can, it truly is a function of whether you want growth or no growth. If you start putting these impact fees in and have them paid at the permit issuance, it's much more expensive to the buyer at the end of the day than if they were paying it at closing or some other time frame. Duval right now has a huge fee that's related to their sewer and other matters that the builders are having to pay before they can get a building permit. So the builders are not able to build in many cases because they can't borrow that $20,000, $30,000 in addition to their foundation expense and dirt work. So they're not building in some areas. So it's, just throw that in the conversation because these fees, it's easy to ask for them.
This is the issue that you brought up that you wanted to talk about that number six, right?
There's a number of nuance. pieces to it. One that Jim's referring to is when do you collect it?
Right.
Another is how much is it?
Oh, right, sure.
Right?
Both are important.
And in regard to the school district, city's not setting that fee. The school district's setting that fee, and that's the forum to debate whether it's right or not. This particular question, the way I kind of get it, I mean, I understand it. I'm not dead set against this change, but it kind of comes across to me sort of like I either need to agree to a pay raise for the employees every year, or the pay raise is automatic unless I say no. Mm-hmm. Now, which one do you think is easier that's just going to kind of keep rolling forward, right? So that's kind of the way I look at it is, if I make you, by the way this has been written, say, do we really agree that the school district's hit the right number here? Mm-hmm. I at least have to take a positive action. If I'm understanding the way this one's being proposed, I don't have to take any action and it's going to go right on through. Yeah. Only if I
object
and raise, you know. And that leaves it to staff and council to have to catch and bring it up. And
it almost gives an easy free pass.
It's the free pass.
You know, 5-10 years down the road when it may be a whole different group of people are like, oh, well, we don't need to worry about this. Check the box, move on. Mm-hmm. And not knowing that they should be checking it.
Could be.
Well, what's the cost benefit internally?
The benefit is just that it does take time to staff preparing resolutions and agenda bills and bringing it forward to council. And
there's a concrete, and I'm just, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming that there's a firm or some sort of concrete review process already in place every year.
Yeah.
And even passing this would not get rid of that process.
No.
It's still set. So
the
checking of the boxes will still happen 5 years from now.
Well, I don't know. I mean, would it? Where is it, you know, outlined that it would? Because by this wording, if I read this, it says, it doesn't tell me that I have to do that.
Right.
This isn't, there's also a separate interlocal agreement between the school district and the city.
This is essentially saving staff time from having to draft documents every year, even though that review process is still going to happen every year.
So previously that process would go through staff and then go through council each time. Mm-hmm. And this time staff could just choose to not take it to council. Is that correct then?
It's that we don't have to prepare the resolution, actually. No.
The council is still going to review it.
The council is still reviews it.
I apologize. I didn't bring that interlocal agreement. I should have. I believe that there is some kind of, and I don't know if it's council review or just at least administration review, but there is review of what the school district's request is submitted each year in a report that they have to provide to the city.
So if the review has to happen regardless, and staff's got to prepare for that review, it's going to go in front of council, there's going to be some sort of a report regardless. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing, so where is the onerous extra work?
This is not a docket that I had submitted, so it's not something that I even have to deal with.
I get that, Mike, but you see where, you know, it's like, changing the date on last year's resolution and then sound very onerous to me. So it's
unless you have to give all this, you know, detail, like, okay, so we're not going to change it because it's the same, so you have to research if it is the same or different, or yeah. No, I agree, yeah.
Well, you know, it's a matter of if it's truly about it will take, I mean, yes, there is staff time involved in, you know, whether it's drawing up the resolution or not, but if the end of review, but if this isn't, if this truly isn't eliminating the review, then I'm not getting the point.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bruce, I cut you.
No, that's okay. I was going to say, the city should review it in every year, regardless.
So it sounds like we have some unknown variables here before we can make a decision on that.
This still has to come back before you for public hearing. Mm-hmm. So I'll look into what those variables are, what the process is.
Oh, okay. Can I just ask some textual questions with it? So it says the city of North Bend adopts by reference the then current Snoqualmie Valley blah 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 plan. So what does it mean exactly by adopts by reference?
It just means that it's another document outside of this particular document that we're adopting.
Okay, that just, and then the then current.
Then current is a legal term that I had current in there previously, and our attorney said no, it needs to be then current because otherwise it would be current as of the date of this document.
Interesting. Okay.
Makes it current
as opposed to
basically saying current whatever the last date of their adopted plan is, that's the one that's referenced here, and therefore we accept it.
Yeah. Okay. But the most current isn't that? I don't know. Okay, yeah, it was just confusing. I circled it. I was like, by reference was very, it's like, by reference. So what do you, like, by reference?
Yeah, we referred to it. It exists there, and we're using it. It's like inserted. Yeah.
And then in the next paragraph down, this is just very, this is probably just being nitpicky, but it talks about, you know, the growth and the percentage of growth, and that this district continues to experience a small growth due to the inventory of unfilled homes on the ridge, and some moderately priced homes in North Bend and Snoqualmie. That makes no sense whatsoever.
There are a lot of corrections that we need to do throughout.
It's like, okay, so there's unfilled homes on the Snoqualmie Ridge. Well, there's also unfilled homes in North Bend. And then how does the moderately priced home...
Are they trying to reference that people aren't buying them because they're over higher than...
But they're not getting their keys based on that.
So I'd like to suggest that maybe we take those two paragraphs and just refer to the school district fact site for the current enrollment information, because that's all
this is relevant change
is the number
time.
Of students that it might be addressing.
I just want to offer one caution, though, in that I don't want to get into wordsmithing or correcting outdated information, even though there is going to be a lot of stuff in here, just for the sake of keeping it focused on the amendment at hand. And then next year we will be coming back for the major comp plan update, and that's when we want to get into all the details about what needs to be updated and so forth. But I think we can make that
since
correction.
The same section
question would be is what is any of that information adding to?
Yeah,
it's nothing to do with
the number of students. I think is relative if you're regarding the fee and how many students are served and state funding per pupil, maybe.
Perhaps they were worried that we'd think that either A, there isn't enough money going to the schools, or B, there's too much money going to the schools. So some reference to that may help influence whether or not we accept it as a docket item. It's the only thing I can think of when I read it.
Yeah. Every delta take it on?
Well, the docket? This isn't a docket thing. This is a...
This is a comp plan amendment.
Yeah, this is an amendment,
So, oh, I thought this was a
consideration.
If you don't accept it, the council, it will probably still come to the council and just without a planning commission recommendation.
Yeah, they're probably going to pass it. I guess I was confused because the agenda references docket item number 4. Did I get lost somehow on that? Relationship to docket item number 4.
Look back, it's probably just a numbering here. Yeah. Yeah, so it's that's just a numbering error.
So the per 2013 docket is should be whacked out there. Yeah.
No reference whatsoever to the docket.
Just an amendment. Yep. So, Mike, you said that, so regardless of, are we making, we're not making a decision tonight because it's going to be a public hearing, planning commission meeting, and then we'll have the opportunity to agree or disagree.
Yeah, so we can come back to you with more information on this at your next meeting. So.
All right.
So there's an open motion, so I'll move to table.
Mike, should we slow down to keep up with your time card here?
we're good. So that was, we were supposed to talk about that at 7:20. It's 7:27 and a half.
Number six.
I'm still thankful every time I see a time log in here. It's,
I love it. Yeah, I'm like, oh, look. Be home by.
So, yeah,
so
that's
number six is off the list.
Number six, yeah, we mentioned already, but that's one that just is in the review of council, or will be going to council.
Okay. All right.
So before we adjourn, I forgot to say earlier, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
I heard rumor it was 2013.
Yeah,
and I was amused by the, if you look at the date of the last day, November 8th,
yeah.
And it's like... It is January 10th, it's almost exactly 2 months.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I had a thought, if I could ask a favor, Mike, just off the top of your head, look out the next 2 or 3 months. What are we getting ready to get into?
This stuff. So
docket stuff?
Just docket stuff, yeah.
Okay.
So apologize for being a little late, so you might have covered this, but yes, I did send an email in. I didn't see a response to that.
The email about the
transportation
impact. Yeah.
So I saw the flash across my screen. Did she do a? Because then I couldn't find it in my inbox.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
it was
weird.
Really weird. Yeah, I saw. You know how you get the little notice.
Yeah.
And I saw Jenna.
I'll go there.
There you go. I'll put it right here. So the essence of it is that it's not within the. It's not a land use issue per subject to the Planning Commission's review. It's just the impact fees are something that would just be reviewed by council. Mm-hmm. Now, where the Planning Commission is potentially involved is in the comp plan. In the comp plan aspect of it is in setting the level of service standards and in setting the capital improvements plans that form the basis for the impact fees. So, for instance, with the park impact fees, those are based on the level of service standards
right. And
the build-out population, putting those together and then calculating the value of what it will cost to build remaining facilities to meet those level of service standards. That then goes to a per capita cost, and then that's transferred into number of people per home, which then becomes the impact fee for parks.
Okay.
So, point of information, now that we are in the new year, do you prepare a 2012 annual report?
For the Planning Commission?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've done that before.
North Bend Municipal Code 2.28.090.
Okay, I don't think we've done that before.
You're talking about staff report to Planning Commission or Planning Commission?
Report to City
Council.
Okay.
Because it's required.
Yeah.
If you
it's something that we have to
think
about.
Can you also send a copy to all of us?
Mm-hmm.
So how much work you just
I seem to recall.
so that's for looking back.
Okay. Okay.
I could be really smoking something on that one.
No, you're probably right.
What was your comment? I'm sorry.
I'm saying I seem to recall having done that somewhere in the past and even... maybe asking to participate. I don't remember if I actually got to.
I think you're right, because I think that like you went to a city council meeting
to
present or report or whatever. Yeah, I think you're right. I do remember that.
I just think it's a couple
of days. I don't know that it was this time of year, but I don't know.
No, I think it is good to bring the highlights of what we've accomplished mm-hmm. in the past year, and there have been big accomplishments.
A lot of stuff this last year. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The transportation. What's that?
Is it a fiscal thing? Is that an annual
calendar? No, not related to fiscal. I think the intent is probably just to keep the council aware of what the Planning Commission has been up to. And thank you, guys.
Yeah. On that, I don't want to drag this on. I apologize. On that, you touched on something that I always mean to bring up. As trusted as a liaison of you and Jenna are, I'm speaking to myself here. I think it's important, and I'm going to try, as I promise, to go to the meetings as a citizen and maybe reiterate some of the things that we've talked about here to the council. Because just like when we sit down with, you know, even if we've done our due diligence when we sit down here, it's still kind of a bramble of what do you focus on. City council does the same thing. We might spend 2 months really working hard on something,
and come up with a consent of an opinion, and then the city council goes boop, 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 and it gets passed on. Illinois, pay attention. So throw that in the conversation.
And yeah, begin the new I year. Think that's always valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have anything else. Rob, would you care to finish what I started?
I just had two more questions before we close. I know that, Rob Malensky copied us on letters he was sending regarding the plat report.
Yeah.
Is there any development? I didn't see any role for the Planning Commission in that. I thought it was very nice of him to include us for awareness. What's the status of that plat overall?
So they have submitted the application, and what we put out was the notice of application for the development. They also, it was his comments in regard to Twin Falls.
Yeah, or Twin Falls.
Okay, yeah. So Twin Falls also requested an administrative adjustments to standards, which is a kind of a minor deviation process for setbacks and so forth. They requested to reduce the rear yard setback by 6.25 feet because the lots are very shallow, because of the parent parcel is very shallow. We are going to deny that ATS request because of language that in the ATS criteria that talk about not applying in a widespread fashion. Mm-hmm. And so they had requested applying it to all the lots within the development, and we're going to just, we have to read that in a strict manner and right. say that is widespread fashion.
Right.
So
essentially they need to look at a new layout.
It's
not necessarily a new layout, but they're not going to have the reduction in the rear yard setback.
It's a challenging lot, very challenging.
Okay.
So then, to add on to your question, so they could conceivably come back with mods based on something else, but whatever that may be, if they change the lots, the houses, I'm not even sure if they can even adjust, like, I think that the print of the house was still fairly small.
It will be very limited, yeah.
Okay.
They're going to have very wide, shallow houses.
Yeah. So the plan is to deny it.
And they may come back with another ask request. Mm-hmm. One thing that we talked about is maybe they request in the front, and then that wouldn't have the same level of impact to property owners behind, which is one of the comments that we got. Mm. But that would be up to them.
Yeah, you don't have to provide.
But still,
no.
But still, if you look at the at stuff, it's basically it's widespread. Fat, it, you know.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to apply it to every lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every other.
I very much
appreciate
you.
Yeah, the math still kind of says that you're either reducing the footprint of the house or mm-hmm. you're widening the lots if you're going to make them wide shelves.
Well, the ATS was just regard to the setback, the rear setback. So it didn't have to do with the lot size or the width.
Well, not the well, no, but it's the footprint of the house on the lot.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Okay.
So I know that you guys dug through a lot of feedback.
Mm-hmm. We still will be.
A lot of feedback.
Yeah,
that's the plat behind your.
It's directly to the east of the east of Wood River.
Yeah.
In between the 100-acre woods and
Wood River. Okay, all between Wood River and Twin Falls.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's school. A section of woods. At the
yeah, there's a 100-foot wide piece zones. Of property that comes up to 140th. I think it's 100 feet wide and it goes all the way back almost to the rear of Wood River. Mm-hmm. They're going to do 12 houses along that with a somewhat questionable size road.
What they're proposing is, and all of this is before engineering review, so we're going to get comments back from engineering review, from our public works director, and so forth. What their proposal was to provide two travel lanes, but to get rid of the parking lane. We don't know if we're going to accept that yet. If we accepted it, it would be with additional on-site parking. Mm-hmm. But on-site parking doesn't necessarily give parking when you're having a party. Mm-hmm. You can't say, you know, can I borrow your parking stalls two houses down?
Two houses down.
So we are more likely to say you're going to have to provide a parking lane. Right. But it's still the very beginning of the review, and we haven't vetted it with our engineering and so forth.
So there's still efforts going on by the staff, even though that you're going to deny the setback. If you deny the setback, I mean, what's the option that they have?
Well, the setback is an entirely separate issue from the plat.
Right.
The setback is decided by staff. So that's something that's entirely within our realm. The plat itself is decided by a hearing examiner. Mm-hmm. So all we are doing as staff is preparing a report on how the development conforms or doesn't conform to the code.
Okay.
We present that then to the hearing examiner, and the hearing examiner reviews that to make a decision.
Okay. So then is there a public hearing?
There is.
So there will be a public hearing. It hasn't been scheduled yet.
No.
And I assume that'll happen at a city council meeting, or will that be a...
No, it's just an independent meeting.
Just an independent, okay.
Yeah.
Do you know if you're still doing it?
Not for North Bend. No. Now, we've got a recent new hearing examiner. I haven't met him yet.
Off the top of your head, do you know how many active permits we have right now?
What do you mean by permit? Building permits. It's a lot. I'm more familiar with plats in process, but I don't know, with building permits. Well, at any given time in the office, there's usually two or three permits sitting on the back counter waiting for our review. Let's go on to Russ. They kind of come in waves.
I'm just trying to put a number in my head to give some sense of, you know, if you have a permit build a year and a half from now, does somebody new live in there? Eight months to a year.
Yeah, we can. Tom Marr, our permit technician, has prepared a report for the number of permits that have been issued this year, so we can bring a copy of that at our next meeting.
I was just about to say it'd be really nice and have the projections.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what are we projecting?
That'd be awesome.
That could tie right back to this school impacts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've got a wave of permits that have been filed.
Mm-hmm. You know. We are on a growth trend. But related to that, more close to your of study is that, you know, I'm also curious on, you know, a fire station seems to be humming along.
Yeah.
Martell's.
Martell's is humming along in the permit process right now.
So they're in permitting. Mm-hmm. Okay. About our hotel.
The hotel, the CEPA was issued on it, and what is the current status? I haven't been involved in it, but I know we're waiting for something back. But it's in permitting. It's still
moving in the forward direction.
Yeah. Is it a challenge on CEPA or past CEPA?
No. Yes. Well, there was comments provided to CEPA. Okay. Not a formal appeal, but comments provided.
Just so I'm clear, the hotel property is your eastbound on 90, get off to the right, going toward Ryberry, it's on the left.
As you're coming into North Bend and you pass past Safeway, or at least past South Fork Avenue as you're turning to Safeway, it's the very next block where there's a bunch of forest right now.
Boy, I think next to the river, it's before you cross the bridge. It's the
Cross from the scene.
Isn't there a rural foundation in the woods there?
Right. No, that's across the street.
It's on the other side.
Parks.
So, yeah, we got comment letters from the tribe, the State Archaeological Office, and King County about flooding. I don't recall what the tribe's primary issue was, and obviously the State Archaeological Office. Potential funds.
So when they do it,
that's
all that was on my mind. I will beat that drum that something needs done about the way we're doing our impact piece. So, and I'm not complaining necessarily about the overall, but it's about the timing and that we don't have any differential, and that is my issue. So when we're talking about infill in the city, we're talking about trying to promote affordable housing and small lot development, small footprint homes. we can't saddle them with the same.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's a good idea.
So, so I need staff's advice on how are we going to go after that.
Mm-hmm. There's things that cities close to us have done to mm-hmm. to provide incentives like that.
Yeah.
Issaquah,
well,
yeah. Others last year, did some stuff.
Different
under 10,000 feet, no impact.
Single family could be different by size. We need something.
Cool. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Straight moved. No second? No second.
All right.
You're a man.
No, I think we're adjourned.
We're adjourned.
Okay. Cool. Turn it.